as difficult as the Enron trial may be for Ken Lay and Jeffrey Skilling, at least they've won this ruling. Prosecutors cannot use recorded telephone conversations between various Enron traders from before the company's downfall. The trial judge said this week that because the defendants are not specifically charged with illegal trading and market manipulation in California, these tapes are not evidence. The jury won't hear them, but you can.
So the rumor is true? They're taking all the money back from you guys? All the money you guys stole from those poor grandmothers of California?
Yeah, Grandma Millie, man. But she's the one who couldn't figure out how to vote on the butterfly ballot.
Yeah, now she wants her money back for all the power you charged right up, jammed right up her for $250 a megawatt hour.
That's a pair of Enron traders recorded 5 years ago. These tapes so represent the arrogance Enron is charged with. We thought they're worth hearing again, and we wanted to recall the story of how they became public. So we called Eric Christensen. He's Assistant General Counsel to the Snohomish County Public Utilities District in Washington State. Eric Christensen, tell us, how is it that these tapes exist? Where do they come from?
Well, the tapes are routinely recorded by energy traders, the reason being that the electricity system has to be balanced from moment to moment so that you have the same amount of power going out as coming in. So these transactions are recorded very rapidly sometimes, and if there's a dispute later, then the companies go back and look at the tapes to find out what the transaction was actually intended to be.
Do you know, in the course of your research into this, how common it would be for a company to go back and check these tapes? Is this something that happens once a month or once a year or almost never or what?
No, it's fairly common when there's a billing question or something like that. As far as I know, this is the first time that the tapes have been reviewed for periods of time consisting of several weeks or months, and with the eye toward establishing broader wrongdoing on the part of the traders.
When you listened to the tapes, when you first listened to them,
yes,
or read the transcripts, were you surprised? I mean, you already thought that Enron was doing wrong. I mean, you had reason to think there might be something there that would help you.
Yes. Well, I was surprised at the level of callousness and the, I guess that they were so convinced that no one would ever figure out these complex schemes they were engaged in that they just didn't worry about being recorded in many cases. We expected that we would find evidence of these schemes that they were operating to milk the California and the West Coast power systems for money. I think we were quite surprised to find where they were discussing how they were stealing money from California, bragging about making money when there's a wildfire knocking out power lines and things like that.
Here's one. Here's a trader by the name of Timothy Belden,
yes,
talking about what they are defrauding California for every day.
He steals money from California to the tune of about a million.
Can we rephrase that?
Okay. He arbitrages the California market to the tune of $1 million or two a day.
Who's he talking to there?
I believe he is talking to one of his higher-ups down in Houston. They have sort of routine calls where they're trying to resolve accounting matters, which get to be a little bit fuzzy when a lot of the money you're making comes from
fraud,
non-routine transactions, to say the least. Yes. And so this is in the midst of a discussion about how much money they should record as immediate profits and how much money they should defer, which itself is a pretty shady accounting transaction.
You work for a county public utilities district.
Mm-hmm.
You're a lawyer for them. How is it that you got this out and made it public? It didn't become public through the efforts of the FBI or the state of Washington or the state of California or Oregon. It's just a little county public utilities district.
Yeah. And
not to demean you or anything, but
it's, I think, pretty remarkable that much of the investigative work of what actually happened at Enron has had to be carried out by the victims of Enron, among them us, rather than by the federal regulators who basically turned their back on the West Coast for over a year while our economy was burning down and, you know, California was going through rolling blackouts and the economy here in the Northwest was losing hundreds of thousands of jobs. I think it's partly a consequence of the circumstance we find ourselves in, although already having been once victimized by Enron, they're still seeking yet more money from us. And so as a defense to that, we've basically pulled out all the stops, including trying to find all the evidence that others may have overlooked.
When you say they're still trying to get more money out of you,
yes,
Enron alleges that it is owed some money entities like the Snohomish County Public Utility District haven't paid up on.
Right. And we now know that they lied to us at the formation of the contract. And it's, you know, black letter contract law that we shouldn't have to pay. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to get to the point in litigation where we've been able to prove up on that claim. But we think it's a pretty much an open and shut case if we ever get to that point. But the ratepayers in this county that we represent, they've been 100% behind us in doing whatever it takes to get out all the facts and to make sure that we don't pay any more money to what is really the most corrupt organization in the history of our industry, if not in the history of American capitalism.
The most corrupt organization in the history of American capitalism. That would be quite a distinction, don't you think?
Yes, but one that I think the facts would justify. You know, I think that's partly can be laid to the feet of a political failure and a failure of regulation, but also I think it says a lot about the internal corporate culture at Enron. So there were great incentives for people like Belden to come up with ways to make money by hook or by crook, and the people that did that were rewarded with fat bonuses. Belden, for example, got a $5 million bonus 1 year.
Eric Christensen is Assistant General Counsel to the Snohomish County Public Utilities District in Washington State. Eric, thank you.
Thank you.
And this note, Timothy Belden and two other former Enron traders have already pleaded guilty to charges of fraud and are now awaiting sentencing. Mr. Belden is on the witness list for the current Enron trial. Other more junior Enron traders who were not indicted continue to work in the energy trading business.